Welcome to the Shamums.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Shamums podcast here with your hosts, Lou and Dan. Hello, my love.
Hi, Lou. It's been so long since we've been in the studio.
And now we're back together. But yeah, we've been meaning to do one, as always, but life. Guys, we do apologize for the interludes in the time between these episodes, but you know how it is. There's just so much going on, and
it's sort of crazy to think that it's so hard to manage like a 1 hour get together once a week, but it is. I mean, I think just with the kids and work.
Even our casual get togethers have diminished because we've turned into winter and weather and work and sickness, like the sickness that's going around. If you're in the southern hemisphere, this just happens anyway, it just flares up, doesn't it? But our kids go to the same school, and there's just petri dish after petri dish lined up there, stacking and just pouring all over the school, and everyone's getting everything. So I even have my kids, they're home today, you've had yours home this week. And it's actually fitting for the topic, because we wanted to talk a few weeks back when it was Australian Mother's Day. So I know there's American and Australian Mother's Day is May. The European one is in March, I think. But we were talking then around women's wellness and the way that we cover it, like our roles, our jobs that we do away from being moms. We actually promote this in, like, we talk about this so much. Thinking about it, this is probably all we talk about, but just in so many different formats.
Yes.
We get together and we're like, oh, have you been doing this? And I'll be like, have you been doing this?
Yeah. It's good. We're a good match to be friends. Always checking in.
Yeah, no, it's actually, and I've only just realized that just by saying those words, but, and then we were expanding on that and saying that this is how we communicate to clients that we work with as well, like, prioritizing wellness over everything. It's, you know, even just before we started recording, we were talking about how, as moms, you always are on the verge of getting what the kids get. And if you're not looking after yourself, you're just going to be hit, wiped out for the whole season of winter.
I think the main thing that mainly impacts mums in that regard too is just stress. So if you're stressed, which, you know, often you can be if you're not managing it properly and you have kids and you're busy, it can be quite easy for that stress to kind of creep in and you sort of not really realize how much it's impacting you. But stress directly impacts the immune system, so it suppresses the immune system. So I think probably the number one thing we can do as mums is to keep that. I mean, you can do all the vitamin C and, you know, the nice supplements and getting to bed early and all those things which help. But I think if you're stressed, it sort of negates all of those other healthy practices.
It compounds as well, I find, with the stress. So you can – what I used to do, and this is a personal experience, that when I would get so stressed and then I would just do something and scream or whatever, let it all out very instantaneously, not actually even touch on the root cause, but I wouldn't even get close to it. I'd just go, I don't know, have a tub of ice cream or something and sit down and just try to eat it away. And then because I didn't deal with it, then the next day it would compound, it would be even worse and even more and more and more until it was physically affecting me so much that there started to be real issues in my life from it. And one of the best ways, and it's so simple and so true and clear, and we know it, is through movement as well. So just literally going for a walk to clear your head is one of the most effective ways to shift not only the energy that is around the stress, so it's energetic representation, but also just for mental clarity. And that's time and time again, I'm telling that people through Pilates as well, because mindful movement, if you're doing yoga, if you're doing anything like even Tai Chi or Qigong, have an intention behind what you're doing, you can, it's a tool that you can just do yourself. You don't need a professional, you don't need any guidance on it. You can actually have your intention behind it, you want to let it go, and you're going to do that through moving your body, because it's just energy. Like the stress itself, it can come from so many places. They, you know, if you have problems in your energy field and there's issues going on there. But if it's just the case that you're in a situation time and time again, say 4 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, you always get stressed because so many things are happening. Mm. Take a few moments and go and do something intentional with moving your body. And it's going to reset it.
And if you can't, you know, if you don't have time to go for a walk, like often the time for me when I'm really under the crunch, you know, with the kids is, you know, after school pickup through to bedtime basically. Mm. And so I even find, you know, there's nothing that a walk can't fix, Lou. I totally agree. Mm. It just completely clears your mind. But if you can't go for a walk, I even find, and I recommend to my clients as well, just taking 3 deep breaths. It takes, you know, 15 seconds. If you can take yourself, you know, often I'll take myself away into the bedroom, or, you know, this is if I'm really reaching fever pitch with my stress, you know, something's happening with the kids or we're having a bad afternoon or there's some bad energy around. Even just doing those 3 really intentional breaths can be super helpful.
Mm.
And another thing I also do is, which we've been talking about lately, is I just make a pot of tea. And I think, like, you're Irish, babe, and also I think that, you know, everyone in the UK always says there's nothing that a cup of tea can't fix. And it's so true. It settles the nerves, the act of making the tea, boiling the kettle, getting out the tea leaves, putting it in the teapot. There's something very, I don't know, I think even that ritual of starting that process, I'll feel my stress start to come down even at the beginning process of making the pot of tea because I associate drinking the tea with feeling calm.
That's good, yeah.
So the 3 deep breaths and making a cup of tea is another good one if you can't get out of the house for a walk.
Yes, and I also think having that time, like when you're doing that, say it is only a hot drink, like I like to do the same with tea and I do coffee in the mornings too, only decaf, low, staying away from the caffeine, but making that time amongst the chaos of everything that needs to be done just to set that few minutes aside for yourself because otherwise you're just constantly in the thick of it. And I think that's what tends to happen is you just run and you're never off the treadmill. It doesn't stop. And it doesn't matter whether you have no kids and you have a job or you have older kids or younger kids, it's all the same. The treadmill keeps going. And I think we all notice this from the shift post lockdown when everything seemed to be really restrictive through lockdown and we had all those rules and things we couldn't do, but actually we had so much freedom within our time and our days to do what we want, to then jump back in, and we're sort of past that area of post-traumatic stress from lockdowns and from the pandemic where now we're like, okay, we started, jump back on the treadmill at 100 miles an hour and it hasn't slowed down. It has not slowed down in that time. And you're trying to find these pockets and think, okay, well, you know, I'll get to that time on Saturday afternoon where I have a few hours to myself. That's like in the percentage of your week. That is literally, guys, 5% of your week. So the 95% of the time, are you going to count down the whole time just to that Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock when your husband's going to take the kids for you, or you're going to close the laptop, or you're going to do things? You really need to find the pockets of the time in the day amongst the chaos that you can access.
Yeah, like unplanned. I think you need to just, you need to find them on the go and you need to recognize them when you need them. I mean, it's for me, I don't know about you, babe, but it's always between sort of like 3 and 7 that I'm finding that's the, you know, and then the other times, you know, if I'm at work or if I've got other chores to do, you know, I do have that time to myself, but I think that is a regular time during the day when you need to, you know, take little breaks. And I also find as well, like mixing up the routine is really helpful. And I think we've talked about this before. We both do this. You can either play music on headphones as you're walking around cooking dinner or whatever, but I normally put I will normally start to play really loud music, like music that gets me in a really good mood. I will just like pump it through the house, you know, while I'm cooking dinner or while I'm folding washing, or like the music therapy is also super helpful. So even if you can't take the break, I think like somehow shifting the energy in the house through music is really helpful. Like my daughter and I were dancing around the kitchen the other night, and then to make it more exciting, we like turned the lights off. So like dancing in the dark. And at that time, normally we could be arguing about getting our pajamas on or hanging up your towel or whatever. But I was like, let's just have fun. And I think if you can somehow shift into that mindset where you change the routine, or another thing we're doing at the moment is you know, like if the kids are not listening or everything's getting crazy or they're arguing, you can just like start speaking in a really funny voice or do a little dance, or instead of like, you know, otherwise I find if you start to get cross with the kids and then it just escalates and escalates and then everyone's just in such a bad mood and everyone's feeding off all this bad energy. I often find if you can be silly as the mum, or you can kind of like, you can chop that energy out and then it just sort of shifts and then it becomes nice again. Like all those little strategies I find really helpful for just keeping the stress levels low in the house.
Yeah.
But the music one is so much fun. And then basically I just get to listen to my music all the time.
Oh yeah. And the kids,
you know,
have
it's not like
it
something
then.
You just do in the car or, and then also the kids are getting exposed to a really cool range of music. They're not just listening to like crappy pop, which, you know, my daughter's really into, you know, this sort of like pop music. So it's like broadening their musical horizons. And it's a really good way to keep, I find, those little tricks are making our household a lot less stressful.
Yes, yeah, we do the music a lot, and the not taking things seriously, because I did used to be uptight. I think I've talked about it before, like definitely my first year as a mother, I lost myself. I did not know who I was, what way I should be. I was trying down every avenue, trying on all these different hats of like, maybe I'm this wholesome mum, maybe I'm this strict mum, maybe I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. You're just trying to get through and try to find whatever works.
Oh, I didn't know what I was doing. And then I remember going home to Ireland when my oldest was one, and my mommy was like, what are you doing? Like, and not in a nasty way at all. She was like, what, like seriously, like is this really you? And I was like, no, I don't know who I am. Lost it.
Fun trying to figure that out.
I know. And then from then, just trying to find my way, but also getting a wee bit too serious at times. But it was so funny to see myself caught up in them times where I was getting really, I was just watching myself always from the side. Like as soon as I was getting into energy and everything like that, I was just trying to witness myself as much as I did things. And I just noticed how serious I would get at times. And I would then look and see, try to see it through my kids' eyes at what they're actually looking at when they see me that way. Mm. And I'm like, what is this achieving? I'm just showing them this like authoritarian figure that is really just battening down on them, and they have these big feelings, big energies. Like I'm not doing anything to hold the space for them in that situation.
No, it just makes it worse.
Yeah, and you're so right. It just like amplifies around the home, like when you're feeling that way. And there's even things, you know, like we bring energies into the home with the way that we are. The kids are so pure that they can just wash it off. Like it literally, like to clear the energy off a child takes seconds. It's us as the adults that are bringing in these heavy things from the day, from where we've been, from our own problems that we haven't dealt with. And we're putting that into the family environment. And as I think as the mom, like energetic clearing is high priority. And we've talked a lot about this, but also just witnessing what the home is like, what energy is like at home and who's causing it. Because, like, you know, the sickness that's going around at the moment, that has, like, viruses all has an energetic representation, like everything does. And my husband was saying last night, he was like, there's a bit of a strange smell. And I'm like, yeah, it's the kids. It's like the sickness is coming out of them. And I'm clearing that and getting rid of it. And if you let that settle and you're not paying attention to it, it can lead to you weighing on you as a mother or a father, even if you're not sick. And it's just there, it's present, and it's down to us to be aware, to just clear that, let it go, and then this sort of lightness returns, even if everyone's not feeling well. And it's not able, we're not able to do that when we're stuck in a stress mindset, or we're stuck in low self-care, we're prioritizing everything else above our own needs. And I think a lot of people get concerned that when they want to look after themselves, it's considered selfish as well, particularly with mothers. I see it so much at the Pilates studio, because you would not believe the amount of women that come in and say, oh, I just haven't had time to do this. And then they feel guilty of booking 45 minutes for themselves two times a week to come and move their body. And then after a while, and it always works to the same journey, like after a while, they're like, wow, what the hell? Like, this is basic needs. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly it. But we're just indoctrinated and conditioned into parenthood that we need to give to our children. And I also think another thing that's really benefited me, and I know a lot of people won't agree with this, but I put boundaries in with my own kids because I will not be that type of mom that is all about my children. And it's like, oh, my children are this for me. Like, I love my children to death. I would die for them. But I'm also a human and I'm here as a person for them. And I can't be a person for them when I'm trying to be the woman that holds everything in their lives without anything in mind. Where's the input for me as a human away from being just their mother? So I don't like there's times where I just give the kids something else to do, activities. And I'm like, I'm doing my thing because I've had the kids at home with me most of my motherhood. And otherwise I wouldn't get anything done. Like, for example, today I really did need to go and have a mikvah. I was just being called. I needed to go and do like my cleansing bath. And I just, it's my son's birthday today. So I've got everything set up and I set everything aside and I'm like, okay, I'm just taking half an hour. I'm going to go have a bath. Now, an older version of me would have been like, no way. I've got to wait till my husband gets home. There's no way I can do that to the kids and leave them sitting there while I take the luxury of having a bath. Hello, basic needs again. So I do that. And my boundaries with the kids aren't in the sense like, don't come near me. It's more that, no, this is important for me to do. And they then see that. They see that I have my self-care and I have these times where even if, that you know, we're all working, we're all doing things, I will have set times where I do things for, like on a Sunday, and it's very important that I have some sort of self-care on a Sunday. And no matter what, no matter if there's a kids party on or if there's something else we're doing, I will fit the time in. And if it's late at night and I don't tuck them into bed, I don't feel guilty about that because I think it's more of a priority for me to fill my cup up and I could be so much more of a better mom to them as well. It's not about...
Yeah, you have to, you really have to prioritize it. I think I also see a lot of clients, I've seen a lot of mums, even in the last couple of weeks, and I've even had people start getting teary and or even crying, one lady in particular. I just said something basic like, are you taking care of yourself? Like, are you taking some time out for yourself? Oh, no, no, I can't because this, this, that, that. And I think at the end of the consultation, I always say, you know, the main thing I want you to take away is I want you to prioritize yourself and take care of yourself. And even just for women to hear those words or for me to give them somehow on some weird level to give them permission to do that, it's such a, I don't know, women just don't allow themselves to take that time. It's funny you said that about the bath too, Lou. I mean, my kids love having a shower with me just in the morning, you know, if I'm having a shower or in the evening or whatever. They always go, oh, mom, can I come and have a shower? And they'll like fight over who comes in the shower with me. And then you're just standing in the shower and one of your, the kids always in the water because they're cold and you're standing on the edge. And I'm like, it's such an unenjoyable shower. They always want to come in with me and I always let them do everything with me. But I completely cut them coming in the shower now and actually close the door and have a shower by myself. I do still let the kids come into bed with me. But and also going to the toilet, I know it sounds silly, but the kids would always just bust in and come in and get stuff out of the bathroom, you know, when I'm now I'm always like, you know, guys, I need some privacy. I'm just going to the toilet because often they are the little times where you have to grab, you know, you grab a few minutes for yourself. But what else was I going to say about bathing? I think as well, Lou, with the kids, if it's getting stressful, you and I already do this, but if all else fails, put them in the bath.
Yeah.
Someone told me that when I had my first child. If anything's getting crazy in the house,
run them a bath on. I know.
Put all the kids in the bath. Put the toys in, get them to start playing coffee shop or whatever. I think that's also
our kids have done that even when we've been around at each other's houses and they've just like when we've been at the farm years, they just have a bath and they've been here, they have a bath. It's just a lifesaver and that's it. It's the water low, like it's an, on another level, the water has its own codes, its own, information. And I think it really, brings the kids down to the level that they already need to, that they're already on, but it's very quickly for them to adjust to that harmony that the water brings.
Yeah, it's really calming, I think, just even being, and particularly in winter, having a warm bath.
Oh, yes.
Is nice.
Like I remember talking to your friend Amy, actually I bumped into her and she was like, we've had three baths today. And it was like 3 p.m.
She has so many baths.
The kids.
Every time you go to her house, she's either in the bath or one of her kids is in the bath, or she's walking around in a towel, like ready to get back in the bath. They're such bath people.
It's such a savior. We've been viewing places on and off for a few years, and it is just there's got to be a bath in it. I don't know.
Oh, completely.
I could cope with that. You can't get those pop-up ones, can't you, if you have a shower? I have a friend and she has that one that you fill up with the shower.
But they're just not the same. You need, it's so nice to be able to lie in the bath.
Yeah, I'm actually as well, like I'm sort of Pinteresting a few things that I would have in my property, and one of them is the rose quartz bath. Have you seen that?
Oh, it's made of crystal. No, I haven't. I've seen the rock, the salt baths, but
yeah, can you imagine bathing in that? It would be like basically in, you know, springs of the earth, because the interior of the earth anyway is all crystal, so it would just be like diving down right into when creation began.
Babe, if you get a rose quartz bath, you can expect me there regularly.
Queuing up for it. We'll be having it as a highlight. I've got about 10 different baths lined up that I also want a copper bath, beautiful. One of my friends has as well.
Oh, yes.
It's unreal. I'm all about pimping out the bath too.
The whole reason we bought our place too, like you've been to our place in the country.
Your bathroom is beautiful. But
it was actually when I walked into the bathroom that I said, this is the house. I just knew it because it has a bath, like a clawfoot bath, and it just faces the windows that look out onto the garden.
It's got windows on three sides. Windows
and all at nighttime you can just look out and see the clouds and the moon shining on the clouds. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's unreal.
It just enhances your life so much.
I know.
The bath.
And water. And you know, that's why they have all these outdoor experiences as well. Like you go to Airbnbs now, they have the water there. And you can sit on the bath outside, it's covered. We've even been considering getting one for our place in Balmain outdoors in the courtyard and just sheltering it.
Be magical.
I know, just for the connection, because it really is.
Yeah.
Like this is it. Like we don't have a TV. We just talk or we watch movies if we want to watch them. But I was saying to my husband, like, we could just sit out here and we could watch the stars, listen to the helicopters of the city.
It'd be so magical.
Not as magical as a country property, like, but you know, you make do. We're urban. We've got to get.
Well, when we were younger, you just reminded me. We had friends who lived up in Bayview, and they had a huge front garden. It was all overgrown, and they just had an old bath out there.
Just the
and
regular.
Every
one.
Summer, we would just go. This is when I was really young, and we'd just get the hose and fill up the bath, and we'd play in the bath all day. So
it's just
there
like
you go.
Mini
you don't
pool,
need a pool,
isn't it? Yeah, it's just the same or a hot tub.
So
as well.
Good.
But
speaking of being outside as well, I was going to say, with the kids being sick, I mean, when I had Luca home the other day, I think a lot of people attempted to keep your kids inside and, you know, you'd have extra screen time or whatever to keep them calm, it's not running around. But it's actually super important to keep the windows open and to get the kids outside when they are sick. I mean, obviously living in the city, there's air pollution and stuff like that. But I think cooping yourself up inside is sort of like not the way to go. And I think even being on screens, I saw some crazy statistic yesterday, even more than 1 hour of screen time a day for children at home is it does affect their stress levels, which then affects their immune system as well. So I think, I don't know, it's very common to have your kids home and just have them on screens when they're sick. But yeah, super important. Like Luca and I went for a little walk down to Birch Grove just to get some fresh air. Obviously not taking bikes and running around, but
Low key energy,
it's good to
do
that when the kids are sick.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So with women's health, another thing that I say, I wanted to ask you about this personally as well. When people come to you with sort of IBS, period pains, crampings, because you just tend to see this more and more with women. And I see it energetically when I'm working with people because it's where the emotions are stored. But on a physical level, like what would you say to women just to nourish themselves around that area, around that time of month? How can we best look after ourselves?
For that, with the menstrual cycle,
yes,
you mean,
with
like with cramping and things like that?
Cramping, or if you just get
just magnesium.
Magnesium
is so important, obviously, for the cramping. B6 as well is really good for leading up to the period if you're having cramping, or particularly PMS, like the moody sort of PMS. So probably magnesium, B6, and fish oils as well, which are obviously very anti-inflammatory. And you can, I mean, I always say it's best to get those things from the diet instead of supplements as well. So magnesium is all your green leafy vegetables, even things like parsley, adding parsley and things to salads, spinach, kale, broccoli, broccolini, eating broccolini, you know, for 3 or 4 nights before you get your period is a really good one.
Oh, that's good.
It's full of magnesium. Baths.
Yeah, salt.
Speaking
yeah.
of baths.
I've been soaking it up.
The hot packs are really good. I mean, obviously, if people had a more debilitating sort of premenstrual syndrome, I would send them for functional pathology testing to test, you know, is their progesterone too high? So, I mean, it's really variable, actually. You sort of have to look at each case individually. Mm. But they would be the major recommendations is, yeah, magnesium, B6, and the fish oils.
Yeah, magnesium comes up across the board. It's everything, even with your nervous system.
Well, 80% of 80% of Australians, or I guess people in the Western world, if that equates, are magnesium deficient
yeah.
because
well, it's not in the soil anymore.
Magnesium is in, yeah, exactly. Well, there's the soil depletion. There's pesticide use and things on vegetables as well. But even if you're eating organic, you'd need to be eating a huge amount of green leafy vegetables, which, you know, back when we were hunting gathering, that would have been a huge part of the diet because you're constantly walking around foraging for these type of greens and things to eat that you'd be having protein or whatever. But because we eat so many processed foods and carbohydrates, often it's those green leafy vegetables that are, you know, put on the back burner or you're just not including, you know, it's sort of almost impossible in today's diet, like you said, with the soil and the pesticides to get that level of magnesium. So like 80% of people are deficient, which is pretty crazy.
It's awful, isn't
which
it?
Is why I think I had a guy the other day actually who started taking magnesium for, he's a basketballer, for like post exercise recovery. He was getting like pain in his muscles for 3 days after playing basketball. And he took the magnesium and it basically just went away. So you can tell when you start to take magnesium if you are deficient, you'll notice a really big physical impact.
I've seen
which
it
is
on,
nice.
With people that get, you know, because we the spaces that we hold tension in, especially in movement, but like say if they're doing it with Pilates, we have it in the calves, and if you have a magnesium bath, it will just relax through those spaces because we hold a lot of tension in the calves and the shoulders as well. But the nervous system, if you have experienced a lot in your life and your nervous system is shot to bits, basically, if you're always running on fight or flight, or if you have been disassociated, so your nervous system is working like triple time and beyond, that's taken a lot of your magnesium reserves as well. So if you're not, again, seeing distress, if you're not noticing where you have you know, your fight or flight response in your life, that you have triggering situations, if you're not seeing the root cause of all of them, you're going to continue to deplete yourself of magnesium, even when you're taking the supplements, even when you're trying to overdose as much as you can on it through like I do salt floats as well, which is just a high intense magnesium. It doesn't matter. You can keep doing that. You're just putting a band-aid on what is, you know, what's the root cause below all of it. And like you said, it is very variable. But I think a lot of us are not aware of our, like, the stress and how we are automatically running on these high levels of a dysregulated nervous system. And we've accepted what is normal, what that is not normal. And magnesium is one of the things that's going to show you, like, if you're getting the muscle cramps, if you're getting headaches, if you're feeling fatigued after movement really easily, then it's a sign that there's, you know, there's a lot more to it, which is just the way.
And even the PMS and stuff too, babe. Like, I mean, I think so many people, and we're even conditioned or we even learn at school that if you're getting your period, you know, it's normal to have some cramping and some pain for a few days before. And, you know, it's quite common to tell young girls to take Naprogesic or Panadol before their period. When in actual fact, you should feel like, as a woman, I don't get cramps at all. I get a tiny little bit of back pain. But you should just get a signal. Your body should be giving you a signal that's not pain. It could just be a sensation where, you know, to warn you kind of that it's coming, or not warn you, but let you know that it's coming. It should really be as mild as that. And anything naturopathically to me that's more than that, that is 3 or 4 days of pain, headaches, moodiness, you know, that is actually, it's not normal It's
even,
and you know, if you think about women back in primitive times, like that, this sort of condition, this PMS, It just didn't exist, because it shouldn't exist if your body's kind of firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, I think it's been normalized.
It has completely. And it's even to give normal. It a name. You know, anything that has a name like that, it's just, that's not coming from ancient times. That is not the words, you know. The spiritual and energetic representation is that we have issues that month that we didn't deal with, or we had something coming up that we could have had been available to process, and it's stuck to us. So it's determined by variable factors on each person again, but
and stress majorly, yeah, like high stress. I find the women that come and see me with this PMS stuff are usually highly, highly stressed. Usually from work, there's sort of a picture with these women. Usually, sort of some sort of like corporate, you know, highly stressed, or could be as well stay-at-home mum with lots of kids, which is also really stressful. But there's always stress involved. It's very rare to see a woman who's completely relaxed.
Yeah.
And comfortable with their life direction and doing self-care that has excessive PMS. Yeah,
and it's like the tip of the iceberg. It's a guideline to, okay, I'm getting this, which isn't really right, and let's not normalize that. Let's normalize getting to the bottom of it bit by bit. Let's just work our way down. I get seen to do the movement, do the self-care, come down, check your energy, check your nervous system, and yeah, find your pathway back to it. But I think that's what we wanted to get to the to sort of the bottom of the, you know, we are all going through all of this. But there's different ways, different avenues, different tangents you can take to come out to look after yourself and to just find your way of not coping, but for thriving. Just don't push through things that you don't need to. There are options. We've done so many podcasts, I think, to cover a lot of the topics through ways you can look after yourself a bit better. But just to highlight that, you know, it is all day-to-day life. And like we said, there's not going to be just like one hour at the weekend where you want to be living your best life. Let's get that filtered out to as many days of the week as we can.
Definitely. You have to build it in and find the little moments. Yeah. Even just having, you know, having an extra long shower or bath and doing a hair mask or, you know, I don't know, making a big pot of tea.
Putting on essential oils. I think it's called
chamomile tea is really good for the day. Yeah, all those small things help. And my friend Ebony has a really good saying, which her mother told her, which I've always remembered, that if you're stressed out being a mum and you feel like it's, you know, just never going to end and it's, you know, causing you a lot of stress, one thing that you can do to remember to bring you back into the moment is I think I've told you this before too. I don't know why it's had such a big impact, but you just have to think it's your season. You're a woman and you have childhood, you have your infancy, you have childhood, you have teenagehood, adolescence, you have your early 20s, then you have motherhood. Then that finishes and then you have, you know, and most women are mothers. Majority of the women in the world have children, and it sort of makes you sound like a, you know, a puppy who's breeding or something. But if you think it's just your season, and Ebony and I always say it so casually, we're like, it's just our season, babe, you know, and then you're like, it's cool. It's going to finish. It's just a portion of my life. It's not not going to last forever. And whenever I think that and I have this little sentence and it's almost like a mantra that I use now, it's just my season. Everybody else is, you look at older women or younger women, you're like, they're going to have their season. And it's just that you're in the middle of it. And it makes me so calm. And then I think, then I get really excited about being a mum. And I look around at the kids and it can completely shift me where like they're giving me the shits and I'm like, I just want to go. I want time to myself. And then I look at them and they're like playing a little game. I'm like, oh, they're so cute. You know, they're my kids. I'm a mum. It'll be finished soon.
Yeah, or it, come back to the present.
I don't know. I love that. I just wanted to pass that on because it's bought me, and most women I've told, you know, have remembered that I've said it, and it just brings a lot of solace, I think, if you're stressed with that mum stuff.
Yes, yes. See to yourself, ladies. Just let it. Let yourself recognize it as well, because I think sometimes we've so many things going on that it's easy to get to the end of the day and just think you're planning the next day. When really take that time to think, okay, am I serving my own needs as well as everybody else's, and bring that in more and more? How much more can I bring in every day, every week, every month? And if you want any tips on it, ask us. We've been working on this. But yeah, do we also want to celebrate as well? It's been a year since our first episode. Yes. So I remember we done it on Felix's birthday last year.
How funny is that? How you? I wondered how you remembered.
Yes, I know. I wouldn't have done otherwise. So we've been a year here, just sharing some insights on the shambles.
So happy, babe.
Which is lovely. Long may it continue.
Yes.
But again, you know, we love getting in contact with everybody, guys. Like, I actually love when people say, oh, yeah, I listened and I heard this.
Yes.
And I love when you've done that. It's really so nice just to share some conversations around what we enjoy, and thank you for the support for the year, guys.
And also thank you to anyone who's messaged on the Instagram page too, because I often get messages on there just with people letting us know that they've enjoyed the podcast or it's been helpful, so and that really gives us a boost as well in terms of doing more of them.
Doing more, yeah, getting it out there. So we're always open to ideas. We do have lots of content that we love to share, but also we're open, guys. You have questions, you come to us, come and ask us. We're more than happy to share our insights and go with getting it into more of a community vibe, letting us give you back what you want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So on that one, we'll leave it for there for today. Have a beautiful day, everyone. And if you like this one, share it, review it, chat to us. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Have a great afternoon, everyone. Bye.
Bye.